This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is how to overcome obstacles in life. How to overcome obstacles in life. You know, this is a series that touches everyone here, starting right here. Amen? We all have obstacles that we need to deal with in life. And the premise of this series of messages is that as Christians, we are obstacle overcomers. That's who we are. That's how God designed us. He has given us everything we need to overcome any obstacle that comes our way in life. We've been looking at 2 Corinthians 2:14 in the King James Version that says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." That's who we are as Christians. That is our expectation. Whatever it is that we face in life, we expect to triumph over it, to overcome it, not to be defeated by it, but to overcome it. We've said that a Christian who is living the faith life, who knows who he is in Christ and is walking with him, cannot be defeated and cannot lose. We will overcome every obstacle that comes into our way. But today, as we finish up this series, what we want to focus on is this fact. Being an overcomer over the obstacles in our lives is not automatic. This past week, driving along the street, I saw a man pull up to the intersection over on my right. And you know, there's something about people sometimes. You see them pulling up and there's a stop sign there. You know they're supposed to stop, but something about that person, the way they're driving, tells you this guy's not going to stop. And I saw him pull up. He looked back down the road, but he didn't see me. So he came out, kept right on coming out into the intersection. And so, of course, what did I do? Being the expert driver that I am, quick-witted, with wonderful reflexes, right? I swerved out of his way. And then, just to complete my testimony so that you all know, when he jumped in my path and I swerved out of his way, I did not turn back, look at him, and mouth out some curse words. You, I just said, "Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen." Now, that's a lesson right there. That's a sermon for some of you right there. Amen. Now, but catch it. Here's what I want you to see. That obstacle suddenly appeared in my path, and I had everything I needed to go around that obstacle, to not be stopped by it, to overcome that obstacle. And as I say, with my quick wits and lightning flashed reflexes, I went right around the obstacle. But here's the point. If I had not done something, if I had not taken action and taken the right action, even though I had everything I needed to overcome that obstacle, I would have a smashed in front end right now. You see, I had all the tools I needed, but I still had to take action and take the right action. What we want to focus on today is the fact that we are, as Christians, overcomers, obstacle overcomers, but we have to take the right action in order to overcome the obstacles that are going to face us in life. Being an obstacle overcomer is not automatic. We've got to do the right things. This has been a four-part series, as I said, and just so that you can get all of the steps together, I have them up on the overhead. I hope you can read them there. It's a little dim, but if you don't get it, I'll leave it up there after the service so that you can get them all. We're going to run through some things right quick today, wrap this up so that we leave here knowing what we need to do. The first thing that we talked about is that in order to be an obstacle overcomer, we've got to refuse to be intimidated by the challenges we face in life. The first thing the devil wants to do to you when you face an obstacle or a challenge in life is to so intimidate you that you back away and won't deal with it. He wants to make it look so big and so difficult that you say, I can't handle this. There is nothing I can do about it. I guess I will just have to suffer. Would you mind if I share a little bit about myself today? You're saying, why not? You always do anyway. This past week, I was feeling a little bit intimidated. I went to visit George when he was over at Osteopathic Hospital. And it always seems to work out this way. The room that they give the person that I'm going to visit is always the one that's exactly as far away as you possibly can get from the parking lot. So I walk into the hospital. I have to go down corridors and around corridors and down to get to George's room. And most of you know that I am at a point right now where my knee has been giving me a great deal of difficulty. I'm looking at probably having to have surgery on it. It got tough walking down that hall to get to where George was. I hope George appreciates it. Amen. But it got tough. Years ago, when I went to a physician and had him look at the knee and x-ray it and all of that, he told me, look, I don't understand how you walking around now. I was doing fine then. But now it's gotten to the point where he told me it would get to where it is difficult. And you know what you tend to do? You tend to look at that and you say, well, I guess I'm just going to have to stop walking. Next time one of you is sick, either they're going to wheel you out to where I am, or you're just going to have to do without me. What is that? The devil's trying to get me intimidated about my knee. Trying to get me intimidated about this situation. Oh, no, there's nothing you can do about it. They've told you you can't do anything about it. So you just need to sit back, make up your mind that you're going to lose your mobility. You won't be able to go places or do things anymore. Just accept it. But you know something? That's not what overcomers do. Amen? You know what I believe? I believe that if God has appointed me to come and visit you, I'm going to get there and visit you. I don't know how it's going to be. You may see me coming down the hall. Hello, Pastor. How you doing there? Amen. Whatever it is, God's going to make a way for me to be able to do what I need to do. I will not be intimidated by this situation. And when the time comes, I'll tell you something that tries to intimidate me too. Sonia can tell you about this. When they operate on your knee, for a few days you're helpless. You need folks to help you. You need people to get you up out of the bed and put you back in the bed, take you to the bathroom. I don't want that. I'm going to talk about that today. Amen. I don't want to go through all that. That's an intimidation factor. But guess what? I'm an overcomer. However it is that God's going to deal with my knee, guess what? I'm going to overcome it. Amen. I will not be intimidated. I will not back up. Can't hardly do that anyway. Praise God. But I will not back up. I'm going to do what God has given me to do because I refuse to allow the devil to intimidate me about the obstacle I'm facing in life. Here's the second thing. When you see that obstacle in your path, you need to take it to God. You need to take it to God. You see, with my knee, once the doctor made his pronouncement, what you tend to say is, well, that's the way it is. You tend to forget that God has something to say about this thing. I was watching a TV program. In fact, I wasn't watching. I was just flipping the channel. And I came to a program that has a healing ministry. And just at the moment I flipped the channel to it, the guy started praying for knees. How many of you know I stopped? I stopped. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I don't normally watch too many of those healing programs. But when he was praying for knees and I just happened to hit it right at the moment he prayed for knees, I stopped. He said, put your hand on your knee. I put my hand on my knee. Laid hands on it. Amen. He said, let's pray. Guess what? I prayed. And do you know what? For the next couple of days, I had no pain in my knee. For the next couple of days, I had no pain in my knee. And you know what conclusion I drew for that? God was showing me something. This is not, the doctor does not have the last word. The natural course with this knee is not the last word. God has power to change this thing around. And you know the determination that I've made? I'm not going to wait till the next time I happen to hit that channel. No, I'm praying for my knee. Amen? What the doctor has told you is not the last word. God overrules doctors. And so whatever the obstacle you face, you need to take it to Jesus, put it before him. Don't give up. Don't back away. Don't say they told me it's going to be this way. There's nothing I can do about it. Give it to him and let him do what he can do and nobody else can. The third thing, you need to develop a plan on how to deal with your obstacle. You need to develop a plan. Now, I don't want any amens right now. I want a church that knows how to give amens at the proper time. This is not the proper time. I need exercise. I need exercise. And I've shared with you before, you know, I like to get out on the track, but I had gotten to a point where it was very, very difficult for me to get out there. You know, I'd get out there and start walking, and in the beginning I'd feel okay, but before I'd make it around the track, my knee's hurting, and because I'm compensating for this knee, I'm doing stuff on this side. All right? So all of stuff is hurting. But guess what? I still need exercise. So what am I going to do? Am I just going to lay back, sit down in my chair, and say, well, Lord, if you fix my knee, I guess I'll get some exercise. No, what? I need a plan for what I'm going to do right now. How am I going to handle this particular obstacle? Do I just say I'm just going to sit and vegetate? Or do I come up with a plan for how I'm going to get the exercise I need, even with my knee? Some of you know that down in my basement, there's a treadmill. I hate that treadmill. I avoid that. I don't like that thing. I paid $450 for it and I hate it. But guess what? It's there for me to use. Amen. I also down in my basement have a weight that I use with my knee. And all I do is just lift that weight and it strengthens the knee. So what do I need to do? It's difficult to get out on the track right now because the knee's too weak. Maybe I can get down in the basement and start using my treadmill and start using my weight and strengthen my knee to the point that I can get back out on the track. Is that a plan? It's on the way. Amen. Now that's a direction. It's not a plan yet. Now let me tell you why it's not a plan. Because if I say I'm going to get down in the basement and get on that treadmill, and then I say, oh, yes, now that's what I'm going to do. I've got a plan. You know what the next question is? When? When? How many of you have ever made intentions and you said, I'm going to do it, and 2 years later you were still saying, I'm going to do it? No, it's not a plan until you make it definite. Amen? And so what do I need to say? Monday morning, 7 o'clock. I will be downstairs in my basement on that treadmill, Lord willing. Amen? No excuses. It doesn't rain in my basement. I will be there. Why? That's my plan. You see, if you're going to overcome obstacles in your life, they're not going to move out of the way automatically because you love Jesus. You need to know what to do and how to do it. You need a plan. These men, when they brought their friend to Jesus and couldn't get in the door, they made an alternate plan. They said, let's go up on the roof and let him down that way. So when you face an obstacle that's keeping you from getting where you need to go, instead of giving up, being intimidated, first of all, you take it to Jesus, allow him to give you a plan, and develop a plan that's definite. This is what I'm going to do. This is when I'm going to do it. And then you follow through on your plan. We'll talk about that. Number four. If you're going to overcome the obstacles in your life, you are going to have to be determined and persistent. You are going to have to be determined and persistent. How many of you know that the devil will not honor you when you decide to overcome an obstacle in your life? How many of you know that he will not back up and say, "Oh, well, they decided to be an overcomer. I guess I'll go bother somebody else." No, when you make the decision that you're not going to allow yourself to be stopped by some obstacle from doing what God has called you to do, you know what the devil does? He says, "Put two of my demons on that one." Now, I don't know if that's exactly what he says, but that seems to be the effect. Amen. He redoubles his efforts. Why? He's trying to get you to back down. Stuff will come up. You will have to be determined. If you are not determined, like those four men carrying their friend were determined. They didn't let the crowd stop them from getting to Jesus. They were trying to push through the crowd. The crowd wouldn't give. They're saying, "Oh, look, our friend here, he can't move. He needs to get to Jesus." And the guy in front would say, "Well, I need to get to Jesus too." And so the obstacles wouldn't get out of the way, but they didn't give up. They were determined. I mean, to get up on top of the house and knock a hole in the roof to let your friend down, that's some determination, amen? That is some determination. That's the way we're going to have to be. I've shared with you before, one of the things that inspires me with my knee right now, years ago, I used to go out to a track, and I would see a man out there, I believe he had been hurt in Vietnam. He had a cane, and honestly, his situation was much worse than mine. You could see him walking down the track with that cane. But the thing was, every time I would go out there, he'd be there. And you could tell it wasn't easy. Walking around the track. And as far as I could tell, he wasn't getting any better. But he stayed there, walking around the track. That man had determination. He was going to do what he needed to do to rehabilitate himself as far as he could go. He did not give up. And that inspired me. Whatever it is you're facing, the devil is not going to make it easy for you. You're going to have some determination to overcome it. When the going gets tough, you got to be determined. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to back away. Because we all know something as Christians. Philippians chapter 4 tells us that we can do how much? All things through Christ who strengthens us. Doesn't mean it'll be easy. Doesn't mean that it's going to knock over the first time we push. But it means if we keep on pushing, we've got the strength of Jesus to overcome. We need to be determined. And we need to be persistent. When we talked about this last time, we talked about the fact that one of the things that we need to be determined about is when we feel the worst, we need to be determined to keep on doing what we need to do. You ever get to that point, you're feeling bad, and you just decide, "I don't want to do anything." Amen? How many of you have ever had a day when you just didn't want to get up out of bed? Recently. This morning. Amen? Amen? I'm with you. Hallelujah. But the key to victory, to being an overcomer as a Christian, is sometimes you gotta get up, go do what you're supposed to do, and don't feel like doing any of it. You got to come to church when you don't feel like coming to church. You got to study the Word of God when you don't feel like studying the Word of God. Catch it, y'all. You got to pray when you don't feel like praying. Amen? And here's the bad news for some of you. You got to go to work when you don't feel like going to work. Amen? No. Again, God has never promised to make this thing easy. If we're going to be overcomers, what do we got to do? Overcome. When we talk about determination and persistence, what we're saying is, I am going to keep doing what I know I'm supposed to do, whether I feel like it or not, and the devil and my circumstances will not stop me. You've got to have that determination. God needs to know that he can count on you even when you're not feeling good. Because let me tell you something. You may not have a bad knee right now, but your time is coming. I don't know what it'll be for you, but there will come a time in your life when you will have to depend on God-given determination to overcome some obstacle that your life is throwing at you. And if you do not have that determination, you will be defeated. Now, when do you get that determination? Let me tell you something. When something big hits you, it's not the time to start trying to overcome. You need to become an overcomer right now. You don't feel like getting up in the morning because you stayed up too late at night. You get up anyway. What are you doing? Becoming an overcomer. You don't feel like going to work because you don't like your boss and he doesn't like you. But you go anyway and you have a good attitude when you do it. What are you doing? You're becoming an overcomer. You see, we got to take baby steps before we take giant steps. Amen? And every one of us will have opportunities to overcome, to be persistent, to be determined in some way with the little things in our lives right now so that we are ready to overcome something bigger when it comes in our path. Let me give you three words, three letters that stand for three words, PPC. Three things that you need to keep on doing. You need to P, keep on praying. P, keep on praising God. And C, keep on confessing the word of God. PPC. Keep on praying, keep on praising, and keep on confessing. Amen? We talked last time about the fact that death and life is in the power of your tongue. You can tear down your ability to overcome by what you say. You need to confess the word of God. And even when you're looking at a bad situation, guess what? You need to keep on praising. Amen? In the midst of your bad situation, you need to give God the praise that's due to his name. And you need to pray. Philippians chapter 4 tells us that we should be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, make our requests made known to God. And what will happen to us? Oh, by the way, I left out something. Anybody know? With thanksgiving. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving. And when we do that, what will happen? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? You see, when we are committed to keep on praying, keep on praising, and keep on confessing. Number 5. Go over to Mark chapter 2, look at verse 5. That's our text passage. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. These men brought their friend to Jesus, let their friend down through the roof, right to where Jesus was. And the scripture says that Jesus saw their faith. When they brought this man and let him down in the midst, right in front of Jesus, he saw their faith. Look at how he responded. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, can we be honest for a moment? If you are paralyzed, your friends go to all the trouble, taking you up on the roof, letting you down through the roof to get to Jesus. Jesus looks at you, says, "You got a lot of faith. Your sins are forgiven." How many of you are satisfied? Say, "Lord, praise God, I'm glad my sins are forgiven, but Lord, I want to be healed." I just wonder what that man's reaction was when Jesus said that. Catch it. Jesus knew he had to deal with first things first. Do any of you know that your sins can block God's healing power or God's obstacle removing power from flowing in your life? Go over to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. You're praying to God, Lord, help me to overcome this obstacle. But because there is still sin in your life that has not been dealt with, God will not hear. Look at Psalm 66, 18. Psalm chapter 66, verse 18. This is a serious business here. I wonder how many Christians there are fervently praying to God for Him to help them overcome some obstacle in their life, and God is not listening. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that is, if I have unconfessed sin, unrepented sin, undealt with sin that I am holding on to, determined to keep. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord, what? Will not hear. How many of you know God wants to answer your prayer? Amen? God wants to answer your prayer. But when we allow sin in our lives that God is convicting us of, we know is wrong, and yet we make the determination, I want this more than I want God in my life. God says, you made your choice. Let's see if what you're holding on to can get you out. Can I just give you an example? It's the example that I use all the time. It's not a very deep example, but it's this. How many couples would you find in church in Harrisburg this morning who after church will go home to their house with their kids, have dinner in their home, who are not married to one another? If you don't know the answer to that, I'll tell you the answer. It's a lot. It's a lot. And what's happening? I know they're praying. They may be in the choir praising God. Amen. I hope none of them are in the pulpit preaching. Hallelujah. But what's going on? God says, if you have sin that you are unwilling to let go of, don't expect God to answer your prayers. It puts a barrier between you and Him, and God will not answer. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 7. Husbands, likewise dwell with them, that is with the wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Men, did you catch that? Let me translate that for you. If you are mistreating your wife, God is not listening to your prayers. Oh man, isn't that rough? Now, it didn't say this, but I believe it goes both ways, ladies. Amen? If you are mistreating your husband, guess what? There is a hindrance to God answering your prayers.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.